and welcome. I'm sorry I stole your line already, but we are here for Showmez Season 3. We're changing up a little bit. For those of you that have been following us for a while, Showmez is typically like a live podcast. We're never in person together. We're always doing the Zoom thing. It was kind of born out of the pandemic, and we had a lot of fun with it. But we want to do something a little special here in 2022 for the 10-year anniversary of Showmez Pro. I'm really excited for this. Thank you guys for being here. Nate Sexton, Paul Uliberry, Jeremy Colling, I am Jonathan Gomez, and we're here to have some fun. We're here just to recap the last 10 years of the history of Showmez Pro, also just disc golf as a whole, these guys' careers. It's going to be a lot of fun. Thank you guys for being here.
And I got to get something off my chest before we really get started, something I've been thinking about saying to you guys for a long time. Oh boy. I didn't come up with the hello and welcome thing. Other people did it first.
Oh.
So I get a lot of credit for that, but wow. I'm not the first guy to say that. Believe it or not.
I've been feeling like I've been stealing your line when you're gone and I'm saying hello and welcome.
It isn't. It's out there in the ether. Anybody can say it.
I don't even mess with it.
Anybody
can
say
it. I stay away from it.
I try to make it my own. Hello, folks, or howdy, y'all. Or,
yeah, you know, for sure.
Hello, everyone, and gather around for some disc golfing action.
Never said that.
I will.
You've never said it one time.
No, I haven't, but I will, and okay. I'll change it up from now on. I just thought that we had to keep it consistent, but now that I know it's not yours, nothing's consistent.
Thanks,
anymore.
Guys, for being here. Yes. I'm really glad that we really dug into that. I didn't really expect. Thanks, Nate, for bringing it up.
I didn't know it was going to spiral. I didn't know it was going
to
spiral.
Yeah, I'm here to bring spirals. I'm glad that you were able to clear that up. So thank you for. All right, so we're going to start out here where it all began. It was July in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Oh, yeah.
The year was 2012. You guys were all there.
Not me.
No, you weren't.
I wasn't there.
You guys were playing.
Mm-hmm.
Sure was.
In the pro MPO division, and I was there in the amateur division. Somehow, I played well enough to be invited to play Am Worlds. And I say well enough, that's not the case. What I meant was I played enough, because what you do is you get enough points to be invited. And when it's your first time, you're like, oh my God, I got invited to play Am World Championships. This is so cool. And then when you think about it, it's like, no, you just spent enough money playing enough tournaments. And then they invite you because they need money to pay these guys. So
I remember my first Am World invite and same reaction.
I'm as like, do I, yeah.
Yeah, you get the email.
I know. It's an exciting letter.
The crazy thing is I remember where I was when I got the email. 10 years ago, I remember I was at my apartment and I just looked at this thing pop up. I was like, congratulations, you've been invited to register for Am Worlds. And I'm just like, no way. Like, I'm not even that good. I was like 925 rated or something, you know? I was like, but I'm like, how do I afford this trip?
Nothing wrong with 925 rated.
No, nothing.
Oh, gosh, no.
But when you're going to play Am Worlds, even 10 years ago, like, you have to be like 980 plus to even like have a chance.
That's hilarious that you got an email. I got a letter. Oh, okay. So I gotta open it up like I got a scholarship. I'm like, I did.
It's one of those reaction videos where you like
to Am Worlds.
Yeah, it's one of those reaction videos where you like record yourself because you don't know what the decision's gonna be. You're like, okay, here I go. Yes,
I am invited. I'm in.
Congratulations, you're going to Charlotte. Anyways, so it was really exciting. I was just like, here I am, gonna go play. The pros are all gonna be there. I remember like I just gotten into watching disc golf. Like, I was playing disc golf for a couple years before that, but this is when the media was finally starting to like show more like live. Disc Golf Planet was in full swing at that point. And I was like, okay, I'm gonna take my camera, but I'm just gonna go play, and then if I have time, I'm gonna go try to meet all the pros I can. And at the time, I didn't know that many pros, to be honest. I didn't know who any of you guys were. I knew Dave Feldberg because his name was on the boss. I knew Nico LeCastro for some reason.
Ken Climo, surely.
I knew Ken Climo, of course. I also was a huge fan of Will Schustrick.
Yeah.
He was just like, I mean, at the time, I think he was
probably
number one.
Number one.
Yeah, probably.
And I remember every time I'd go play horribly, and then I would end my round, and I'd drive to wherever I knew the pros were playing that day. And so then I would go and meet up with him, and I remember I met Will Schustrick. He was the first pro I approached. I was like, dude, like, I'm such a huge fan. Like, this is awesome. And I remember at the time, Nonstop Disc Golf was a thing.
Yeah.
Nonstop Disc Golf was a tour. Kayla Visca, Dave Feldberg, Nico, and Will were all in the Innova RV. So I remember going up to James Tennedy, who who was the guy that was filming Nonstop Disc Golf at the time. He was a really good friend of Will's. And he basically was walking around caddying for Will. And I was like, dude, what are you doing? You're not filming Worlds? And he's like, nah, I'm caddying for Will this week. And I was like, you've been filming every other event on tour, but you're not filming the World Championships. It didn't make sense to me.
I didn't but know that just that goes that's to show it was birthed out of James Tennedy.
Yeah.
Not filming.
Exactly. So I'm so I would go every day after my round. I was exhausted because we played 6 rounds in 4 days. And even when you think like I love disc golf, 6 rounds of competitive disc golf in 4 days is a grind.
Yeah.
Like that's why Worlds used to be like I think a lot different because you guys would play that plus a final nine. Like it was a lot of golf. Anyways,
7 or 8 rounds and then a final.
So some days I would play 2 rounds and I wouldn't get to go follow them. But the days that I'd play 1 round, I would go meet up with Will just because he was the only guy I knew at the time. So then I started filming with my camera because I brought my Canon 7D kind of like because it was a vacation and I was doing other stuff. But I was like, well, I'll film them and just kind of get some footage. And anyways, by the time we get to the final nine on that Saturday, I didn't play well enough to play on Saturday. So that was good for me because I didn't, you know, I had all the time in the world the final day. I got cut after the 6th round, which is understandable because
9:25.
Yeah, of course. So I get there. There's more people than I'd ever seen gathered for disc golf ever before on that fairway of Hornets Nest, where we currently play the Disc Golf Pro Tour Championships, which is really cool to be able to go back there. The first time I got to go back, it was like pretty surreal of being like, dude, this is where it all started.
Yeah.
Even though the course was wildly different.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I get there. There's yellow ropes all up and down the fairways. You can see along the road. Yeah. Like the road is just lined with people. This is the first hole. MJ, I remember just hometown hero. He goes up and over the top.
Yep.
And everyone loses their minds. It was just so cool. So I'm there and all these people are there. The only people inside the ropes are players and caddies. Like that's it. There's no media. And I remember like I guess I had been like following Will enough that week in the earlier days that people just assumed that maybe I was the guy filling in for Nonstop Disc Golf or something. I don't really know.
It's so funny. There's just no checks and balances. No.
Yeah, and like, so I don't have a media badge or anything.
The shot was actually nasty from Ricky.
Yeah, that was pretty sick.
Was really...
So I get in there, I start rolling, and I'm just thinking like, I'm just going to keep rolling until somebody kicks me off the course because I don't belong here. Yeah, he almost just cans that.
Yeah, that was such a good shot.
And so that's how we got to where I filmed the final nine of the Pro Worlds. And it turns out that to this day, it's the only record of Paul McBeth's first world title in 2012. It's pretty nuts. The reason that happened was because, you know, not to like dog on the Disc Golf Planet, because they were working hard. They were filming Sarah Hokum win the world title, you know, moments before these guys got to go. So they didn't get to come over to us until hole six. We were putting on hole six. That's when the live crew made it, because back then they didn't really, you know, to their credit, it was also very new, but they didn't like plan on spacing out the tee times enough to be able to like move back over and film. You know, they had, that's just,
this shot's so crazy.
Oh yeah, he flips it over and it looks like such a shame.
This is what it always does. We haven't seen it so much in the Disc Golf Pro Tour. That's what happens. If you hit that road with a little bit of angle, it always
doesn't. Yeah, and I remember the crowd went nuts. That was fun. So anyways, so filmed the world title, single camera, like did my best. I think I missed one drive out of the entire final nine. I think one time I wasn't ready or something. I don't know. I was nervous. Like I was so nervous that I was even there in the first place. This is my first time ever filming a single round of disc golf. Well, the only reason I even filmed disc golf that week was because, like Germ said, because James Tennedy, who I looked up to as like the guy filming Nonstop Disc Golf, like single-handedly doing all of it, the whole tour, wasn't filming. And I was like, well, I'm not trying to take his place, but I'm now that there's no one here filming, I feel like I'm not stepping on anyone's toes. And that's why I did it.
We're just lucky it was like pre-smartphones, because there's no way you would have even brought that camera in today.
Yeah.
If this was all happening now. I mean, obviously they wouldn't let some random dude on the tee pad. Now, anyway,
James Kennedy.
That's crazy.
Thinking right now, he's like, I could have been Jonas.
No, no, I've talked. I still talk to him to this day. Like he's.
Oh, he's a cool.
Yeah, I don't get to see him that often, but I still credit him, like, in all. Wow. You know, as being my inspiration. You know, aside from like the players themselves, like me being inspired by wanting to watch them more and feeling like there was a need that could be filled. That's like where it came from. Because I loved disc golf so much. I love playing it. I love watching it so much. And there wasn't enough of it. So I filmed this stuff. Didn't really know what the heck I was going to do with it. I was just like, all right, I'm going to throw it up on YouTube. Because at the time, on Jomez Productions channel was all like, I was into like GoPros. Like I was really into GoPros. So I would always buy the new GoPro and do a review video. Because those actually got us a decent amount of views. Because people were always like, what's the new GoPro look like? What's the footage look like? What are the specs? Mm. And that's what I would do.
Wait, you already had a channel called Jomez?
Jomez Productions. Because Jomez Productions it was just like a thing that I had. That was like commercials and stuff.
Two things about Jomez today.
But in my hometown. Oh,
like you were making commercials for other people?
Locally. In my hometown of San Angelo, Texas, that's where it started. But it's like this little West Texas town that doesn't really, it's like a little bit behind as far as media is concerned. So no one wanted to pay for anything. Everything was like on trade.
Can we see these commercials at some point?
Probably not, but so the channel already existed. I was doing like GoPro review videos and I would get like 5,000 views and I was like, heck yeah, dude, like people are watching this, you know?
Yeah.
Because when I'm filming commercials for the local TV station, like I don't know if anybody's watching it or gives a crap. Like that's all it was at that point. So yeah. I get home, I publish the video, I edit it together. I get my buddy Michael to do the famous dubstep track that is at the beginning of that. Michael Fouché, like, actually has been so integral to the success of what Jonas Productions is, because even from the beginning when he wasn't even officially involved, it was like, hey, Mike, can you make me some music for this? Because I don't want to get copyright, like, whatever. And so that's when it's like, all right, you know, bah, 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 you know, all that stuff. And it was like, dude, you made a dubstep track. Like, I don't know anybody that can do that. Like, it's crazy. That's how he is. Yeah, exactly. Publish it to YouTube. Like, I think within a couple weeks I published it. It wasn't like this, like, I have to publish this immediately because I didn't know what I had.
Oh, sure.
Like, I was just like, I filmed disc golf. Like, that was fun. I didn't know who Paul McBeth was, but he won. Like, I didn't. I had no clue who he was. Oh my gosh. And to be fair, I don't think a lot of people did before he won.
Yeah, sure, sure. Yeah. He was the up-and-coming player that we thought might break out in, like, 2013 or 2014. But when he won Worlds, it was like, okay.
Yeah.
We need to watch out. This guy's going to be something for a long time.
So I publish it to YouTube. I start getting views. It starts getting a little traction. I'm getting more views on this video than anything I'd ever published before. And I'm like, okay, this is pretty cool. Like, people actually like watching disc golf. Like, they're just like me. But I still had a full-time job. I still didn't really put anything else into it. Like, the only reason I even went there and paid for that trip was because I was there playing Am Worlds. I had no money to put into this. So fast forward to the next spring, 2013 Texas States. I go to, I believe it was Manor, Texas or something, or East, whatever that course was called. Yuli was there. Germ was there. I show up for the final round.
Come here, bud. Let's pull up some 2013 Paul Ulibarri Texas States.
It wouldn't be Showmez.
Somebody give this guy a shot.
It wouldn't be Showmez
because he throws a lot of them.
So we get there. I get there and I only show up for the final round because again, like I don't fully understand. Like what do I?
No one did.
What is my like purpose here? I didn't really know. I just knew that there was times I wanted to show up. So there's Nico. Everyone always talked about his big old hair.
Oh, Ray! Yeah, there you go. Nice. Ray. Full sendies.
And look at that. Just like.
This is why he's the best scrambler of all time because he just throws his body into shots.
So a lot of like loosely fitting plaid shorts between the between the card. It was very much the style. I'm sure Germ was guilty of it too.
I wore one round with plaid shorts and I looked in the mirror.
Does that look like plaid shorts? I'm looking good.
Adidas. Yeah, you're looking Adidas good. Before Adidas.
He's got a time.
What you're wearing there would
look
work today.
Paul's good. Paul's got a timeless style. You got it.
Yeah. So I show up. Nice. For the final round, same thing. No one's there filming. Like, I'm just like, okay, cool. Like, I recognize some of these guys now. I believe this year, Yuli had gone to San Angelo, Texas to play the Crush on the Concho. Yuli was one of the first, like, touring pros to ever come to our town. And he shows up. I'm pretty sure you just dominated the field. So I'd already kind of known who Yuli was at this point, because I think it was right before that weekend. Yep. It was around the same time. So they had just gotten on Prodigy. You were on Prodigy. Jerm was on Prodigy. You know, Prodigy, that whole shift was like right at the beginning of late 2012, early 2013.
We got discs for the first time at that tournament in boxes to where we were able to like actually
We got our M4s and our M2s.
I feel like there's 100 towns in the United States where somebody's going, well, you know, Yuli was kind of the first touring pro to swing through these parts.
Yeah, no kidding.
I mean, and people...
All the small towns, all the little honey pots.
Here's the thing about that. People remember that and they appreciate it more than you know. Like, they think like, this guy thinks that this town is at least good enough to even come to for a couple days.
Sure.
The money, the prize pool's not that great. But like, we'll be very like, most of those places are famous for their hospitality because they appreciate it so much. Mm-hmm. You never pay for anything while you're in town. You're never gonna pay for a beer. You're not gonna pay for a meal.
That's right.
You're not gonna pay for a place to stay because they appreciate you being there and they want to at least make it like a good enough experience that you might come back again. 2013, that was Ricky's first Texas States victory, and we just. That was another time where like I filmed the round, I published the round, still didn't quite know what to do with it. I threw it on the internet. You can see this intro that Mike made. Like, what the heck, man?
I know.
This is like, dope.
Who is this?
Dude, Mike was 3D rendering each hole.
He was
in post. Like,
this is a little bit before that, but look at this. Every blade of grass in the basket.
That's insane.
And it's just like, I called it the top card because like, I thought that was going to be like the name of, you know, this is all just like, very like just trying out these different concepts. Look at this,
like,
man.
The earring,
the shorts.
Look at the plaid shorts.
So
plaid with stripes.
And this makes a lot of sense that Paul Macbeth is 10 down and he tees off first and Ricky Wysocki is, oh wait, maybe this clip just started late. Yuli's 10 down.
Yeah, sometimes they go. I don't understand the reverse order.
Maybe it was an order of birth date. They might have done birth date back then. But anyways, this was a good time.
Oh, that old form.
I remember something.
Skips my Lou.
Something to remember. Before we move on from this tournament, is for anyone out there that has, like, aspires to film disc golf and kind of wants to get into filming disc golf, because I definitely think that there's always a need for more media people in disc golf because there's so many tournaments now. Things are always happening. Always remember to be prepared and bring yourself some water. Because I remember this day. It wasn't like blade. Yeah, look at this. So Ricky is in the lead and he tees off last.
22.
He's off by 12 strokes and they make him tee off last. I don't understand that.
This was when he had the 1100 rated round.
Yeah, the first round.
Oh my gosh.
And this course was pretty.
Wait. No, that was a different one. That was a different
this
one.
This is East Manor. This is East Manor.
Yeah, because that was when Ricky, Paul shot like a 60 or something like that, and like a 61, and like came into the clubhouse thinking like, I just shot the hot round. And no way. The wind was insane, and Paul, you're thinking like, I've got at least a 3 or 4 stroke lead easily.
It's.
And then Ricky came in and beat him by 6.
No, it was literally back then, like I was really good.
Yes.
And when I played good,
you know,
I would be like, okay, I'm leading.
Any
tournament that I was playing.
Yeah.
And that was the first time that I played around where I came off the course and I'm like, I did it. Like, I'm going to have the lead. I might be up by 2, maybe 1. And I was until Ricky came in and he beat me by 5. Or no, it was 6.
I think you shot 61.
It was
61,
so many.
And
I remember thinking like, that's not possible.
It's not in the calm. If it was a helping wind on each hole, 55 would have been insane, and it was a headwind the entire course.
Yeah, it was.
It's back before any kind of live scoring, when you just kind of word of mouth. Yep. It came like Ricky shot a wall.
I was playing with like Devin Owens, like really great players back then, and I just completely smoked them, and they were like, "Whoa, dude! Like great round, man!" And I'm like, "Dude, I know. Like maybe this is the year, you know."
Sorry.
Down by 6.
Ricky says, "Hold my putter."
Yeah.
So crazy. We filmed the event. I get home, post it to YouTube. Same thing. Like, I let it sit. I go back to my normal job, my life, whatever. Like, this is in the spring of 2013, and we didn't film another event for a whole nother year till 2014 Texas States, whenever I finally decided, like, okay, I'm going to show up. I'm going to film my first ever, like, complete round, my complete tournament. Mm. We showed up to Old Settlers Park in Round Rock, Texas, 2014. Leading up to that event, I was like, the easiest way, I think, for me to, like, improve this product is to add another camera. Because after Texas States, like, that place was kind of a nightmare to film single camera. Like, I need somebody down by the basket, around these bends of the fairways, all this stuff. And so that's when I bring in Mr. Michael Fouché. Michael, let's go. We need you to take your seat, please.
Oh, wow.
Come on, Mike.
Let's go, Mike.
Yeah, Mike.
Hello.
So I hit up Mike because Mike had already been involved with playing some, like, composing original music for me, doing the whole 3D stuff, like, all kinds of cool stuff. And I remember I came up to him, I said, like, all right, if we're gonna do this, like, I need another camera. Are you interested in this, like, job? And he's just like, I know how to work a camera, but I don't know anything about disc golf. And I don't know what was going through your head, like, whenever I asked you to even be involved in the first place.
Yeah, so basically, me and Jonathan had been friends since high school, and he had known I do photography. So I was really into that, and I had done a little bit of video work. I've always been into that kind of stuff. But then, yeah, he was just like, hey, you want to come film this round with me? I was like, dude, I don't know anything about disc golf. Like, what am I going to do out there? So basically, he just took me out on a course, and Jonathan was playing around, and he was like, yeah, we're just going to take a camera out there and just, like, let's see what happens. And so I filmed him throwing, like, a couple of shots.
We filmed, like, 9 holes.
Yeah.
This is the day before we're leaving to go to the tournament. To film the professionals. Yeah. And I remember telling him, I was like,
925.
Just so you know, Michael, they're going to throw a lot further and a lot more accurately than me, but this is the best I can do for you right now. And it's me just playing our course. It was at the Angelo State University disc golf course. It was a really fun course. It was more of a pitch and putt, which made me look a lot better than I was. But that was Mike's first experience, like, with a Canon DSLR. Mind you, like, these are not meant for the kind of shooting we were doing. And so he trains up. He's like, all right, this is about as good as I can do. It was a crash course. Like, it was insane. Like, Michael's just, like, the ultimate, like, team player. He's a quick learner. It's not like we had videos of disc golf to pull up, like, because there wasn't a whole lot. Central Coast was around. I'm not, like, saying that that wasn't the case, but I just remember, like, it was still a lot of, like, single camera stuff. Like, we didn't really have a lot to go off of, so we were just like, all right, let's see what we can do here. So then we show up.
So just at this point, you're communicating with TDs and saying, or you're just...
This was straight up showing up.
No. Just rolling in.
To this point, 2012, 2013, I hadn't told anybody I was coming, and no one cared that I was coming because they were just like, oh, cool, you have a camera.
Promote our events?
Yeah.
Sweet.
And did the players react to you in any way you didn't expect? Or is everyone just kind of like, well, I guess that guy's going to be down by the basket now?
He didn't even say hi to me, so he was just like...
Oh. Well, no, not that hasn't changed.
That's not true.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, and we didn't even have walkie-talkies to communicate at that point.
So yeah, sure.
Like, just throwing in a fire, like, hey, you'll be fine. Just stay in...
Yeah, go down there, far. Mike.
Yeah.
Look, you're going to hear some rattlers down there.
I specifically remember thinking anybody who ever had a camera at that point, because nobody ever filmed anything.
Yeah, sure.
It's always like... This is awesome. Like, thank you so much.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Right. So we get to the Old Settlers Park, 2014.
Nobody's asking you, hey, man, who are you? What are you doing?
Yeah.
So nothing.
That's this is where Ricky shoots this insane.
Look at these graphics. Look at these amazing. Mm. This is me going to every tee pad with an iPhone, cropping it later.
Oh, my.
For the
tee
signs.
This is the tournament where I shot
that. Yeah, that's what I was saying. This is
the
course.
Dude, the wind was so awful.
It was so cold that day. I remember that.
Oh, it was brutal.
Yeah,
the wind
so
just made it just
first
insane.
Time, that was my first time meeting Simon Lazat. I was, of course, by then, he's already getting pretty popular. He had just come to the States. Was it in 14? Was his first year in the States with Aiden?
Maybe 12.
Over before, but maybe this is his first. Like,
the tour, like
time.
The
doing
tour
the deep
did.
In the game thing and the trick shots.
Yeah.
This is the year he won GBO.
Yeah, we haven't gotten there yet. Thanks, Jerm, for the spoiler. But
this is the year that I don't know what happens to GBO, but Simon was there.
So
that's a nice shot.
Yeah, so this course was pretty brutal. It was cold, it was windy, but so anyways, so this is Michael. This is Michael's first attempt at filming disc golf, and like his catch him skills are already just like
That's my first attempt at putting.
Yeah. Putting disc golf. And Ricky from even back then has yet to miss a putt. So we get through 2014 Texas States. We start the year off, and I remember we had filmed enough things on the channel and gotten enough attention that Bobby Cool Daddy Slick Breeze from Dynamic Discs said, "Hey, are you guys interested in coming to film the Glassblown Open?" And I remember, like, Glassblown Open had enough of a name at that point that I was like, "Dude, that's a big event. Like, that's huge."
First invitation?
Yeah, that was our first invitation.
Yeah. Oh, open and they the were. Mail?
Yeah, open the letter.
We're going to Amworld. We got a
scholarship.
I got it.
At that point, I think he might have. I don't remember for sure. We might not have gotten any like paid to go, but it was like, hey, like we'd like to have you guys be here, you know. And I'm like,
yeah, back in those days.
That's an honor,
yeah.
And you're getting asked to be, you know, to play to film.
It's lucky you opened it. I think if I got a letter from Cool Daddy Slick Breeze, that's probably straight to the recycle bin.
Yeah. So I remember like preparing for this trip, like this was our first like out of state trip. Like obviously look at this intro. Look at this sick intro, bro. Ooh. Oh my. And then look at that.
Did you do the
Michael
that Jomez Productions logo? Was that you, Mike?
No, I made that in my crappy Photoshop skills. Okay, that's the worst part of it, and that was my fault.
No,
I'm sorry.
I actually like that.
Oh, look at us, Andrew Kramer, video co-pilot.
Yeah, and look at Germ.
Ooh, yeah.
Sexy boy.
Wow. I don't know if it's
so woo. Here's all the sponsors: Bearded Brothers, Discator, Udisc, Snapspin. These are all people that I reached out to and was like, we're going to go film the Glassblown Open. We're going to do two camera coverage. We're going to do next day, like all this stuff. And I remember, it wasn't next day. I'm sorry. We weren't that fast. Next week coverage. It was still fast enough for 2014.
I didn't know that UDisc was around in 2014.
Dude, they started in 2012 with us. They started at the same time as us.
I didn't realize.
That's crazy. Yeah, Matt Krieger and Josh.
I don't know if it's because I don't really computers, but that intro still works, you know, for me. That doesn't look that dated.
I watched that thing 100 times over when we completed it because I was like, dude, this is so good. This is so good. So there's Simon Lazotte. We're not going to play the audio because we'd get copyright struck, but that's Paramore. I remember he chose Paramore. I'll never forget it because, you know, the German kids love Paramore, I guess.
That was such a sick drive.
Yeah, and it's this. See, I missed this whole. Yeah, this is Germ. We're just gonna do the noise for it. It's. He plays Careless Whisper because
at Michael
I'm gonna take
house.
Credit for this. Yep. This is the first time Germ came to San Angelo, Texas, to play Crush on the Con Show. Germ, they had gone for a practice round, and before they left, this is what's happening right now. Germ forgets that he chose the song, and he's like, "Oh crap!" But then he's still just like. Such a good shot for a guy that just stutter step laughed in the first attempt. Macbeth plays I think it's a rap song with cursing in it. I remember that that was our first time having to censor a video because they played Macbeth's song that like straight up was just cursing in front of all these children. And then Ricky plays Eminem. No, I think Ricky plays Eminem. Yeah. If I'm not mistaken. But yeah, the plaid shorts are still in very high fashion.
I would not have
loose fitting plaid shorts is the way to go for look at how long those are. Love you, Ricky.
No, it was very much a Ricky and Paul thing for a while.
So yeah, so this is a Michael's second tournament ever filming Catch Cam. Just
are you talking about disc golf, Drum? Because that's still kind of a Ricky and Paul thing, even now.
The plaid?
No, I thought you were just saying it was a Ricky and Paul thing for a while. I was just saying it kind of still is.
Disc golf is a Ricky
disc golf
and Paul
in general.
Oh, no, I meant the plaid.
Yeah, I know. It was actually a joke.
Right over here.
It was
right
a joke I was head. Doing.
I got to ask a question to Mike real quick. At this point, for these events, what are you thinking about disc golf?
I mean, at this point, I've been playing with Jonathan at rounds at our college, basically, which used to be one of my favorite little pitch and putts. That place was just so awesome until they reorganize it. But at this point, my second at that point, I was after the first round I had ever filmed, I'd felt pretty confident for me being catch cam though. Back in those days, it was just I didn't walk the course. I didn't know to like prepare ahead of time. Like I actually walked the course so I can get to know it. Now it's just like out there like, oh, I'll figure it out. Or like, I'll see where the cart in front of me is walking. And then I would just follow them. Like I had no preparation.
Like, that was our thing. I would go, yeah. Michael, see that guy?
Yeah, yeah.
His name is Jeremy Colling. You don't know who he is. Yeah. He's wearing that like orange shirt. Follow him.
Exactly. Yep.
Like, you know, it was like that. It was like I knew by this time I knew who everyone was, but Michael didn't for good reason. He just had no clue. And so I was always like, follow that guy. So anyways, GBO is such a great experience. We have not missed that event since we started. Mm-hmm. It's our longest running like coverage event, Nexus Texas States, but I think we had skipped a couple Texas States. So it's GBO is always gonna hold a very dear place in my
still
heart
one
because
of my favorites
these guys are amazing. They've turned Emporia into a disc golf destination city. It doesn't have that many people. I don't know the population.
It's like 25,000.
Yeah, 25,000. It's a little college town, Emporia State University.
At this point.
And every time we go to Emporia, it's like they embrace disc golfers like no other place. Like I would say, it's especially for the size of the town it is.
I think our longtime Jomez watchers are gonna know the legend around Mike never getting hit by discs and just like, you know, being agile with the catch cam. I feel like as a non-disc golfer, the times I've been around non-disc golfers, they're so confused by the flip and the fade and where is this thing even going. So I'm wondering if you have any kind of like panicky memories of like, I'm not, or like a thumber or something, like they're trying to read where this thing's going and you're up there on the catch, mortified that you would like, you know, impact the game if it hits you. Like, do you remember some times where before you even really knew when it was going to break or hyzer or skip that you're just kind of like, I might need to just throw the camera on the ground and.
Yeah. So the first one or two tournaments I ever played, I was obviously standing way too close. I mean, I did that throughout the year, that first year I was filming, but I had a lot of close calls in the first few tournaments just because I was way too close and the disc was just like flying over me and I didn't know better to like stand back there. Obviously I was still trying to figure stuff out and I didn't, you know, necessarily have a game plan. But yeah, I had a bunch of close calls that I still have nightmares from spike hyzers through the trees. That's the only thing you can't dodge them. You can't see them until the last split second. So like I wake up in cold sweats just...
I didn't even start doing commentary until 2017. And at that time, I remember like some of the things I was always talking about was like these shots coming right by the camera and Mike just never being hit.
It was so good.
And amazing. I think as players, I think all three of us will admit to times when in the cameraman era where you're like, if I just frozen rope it right at that guy, this is going to be a pretty good shot.
Standing right
like, I will definitely use a cameraman as like an aim point. And I'm like, if I just kind of zap it at him, that's going to be perfect.
So we only filmed those two events that year, but everything just continues to like go like really well. Like every time we show up, like as long as we're showing up and doing our best, like people are responding well to it. And we get to the 2015 season and me and Mike are like, dude, that went really well. Let's just like see what we can do. So at this point, we both still have full-time jobs. Michael's working at Best Buy. He's
the
like
old Best Buy.
To this day, I would bet that he's maybe one of the best Geek Squad agents that the corporation's ever had. The guy was like well overqualified to work there. I'm sorry to anyone that works at the Geek Squad, but that's just Michael Fouché for you. And I was working in truck parts at Bruckner Truck Sales in San Antonio, Texas.
Brush guards
and air filters and all that good stuff. And so we were like, I was like, Mike, like, there's so many events that are happening every year. Like, I think we should try to like start traveling out of state to some of these because not that many come through Texas. And I really think we should do this. So he was like, all right, let's do it. Like, we're both taking off way more time than we're supposed to at work, trying not to get fired, but we went for it. 2015, we filmed one event 2013, one event in 2012, two in 2014, and we committed to 10 events in 2015.
Dude, that's
like, we just
crazy.
Went
wow.
for it.
Wow.
And you know what? I remember, and I'll give credit, there was a blog called All Things Disc Golf, and he would always write up articles about events and stuff. And I remember in 2014, at the end of the season, he wrote an article about us that said, like, here's the disc golf channels to look out for. These guys are doing great. And it was us and Central Coast and all these people. But I remember at the end of ours, he talked about how good the production value was and how different it felt like compared to other people. And he said, Jomez, if you're reading this, I hope you find a way to start filming more disc golf. And I remember being like, dang, man, like, that guy's like calling me out, but like, he's encouraging to if you can do this, like, you have a shot. And I just remember being like, dude, like, that was, for me, it was just like, we got to do it. Like, there's people that are watching, and this guy wrote an article mentioning our names, you know, like, that had never happened before. So 2015, we're just hitting, like, we're just hitting every opportunity given to us. We went to California. We went to, what was that called? The St. Jude Invitational.
Oh, yeah.
What was it called? Black Horse something? Or
I think
in Monterey.
It was Monterey. Yeah. So we had a lot. We had a fun time there. Me and Michael got to do the tourist stuff. We went to Google. We went to Apple. We went and saw like all the sites like Texas boys would do when they go to California for the first time. We went to the beach. Didn't get in the water because it's way too cold.
It was so cold, man.
Yeah, it was just all the typical, you know, experiences that those guys like us would have.
Getting your first real taste of like what this could be like.
Yeah, touring the country, and going back into the first ever time that we had Nate Sexton on commentary, and any commentary for that matter, because commentary, for all of you that remember way back then, it was not important. Yeah. It was not important. So here we go. This is Nate Sexton.
All right, round two, commentary for Hall of Fame Class
A. Looks like you're still going through the awkward teenage years right now. Almost. There, I don't know. I mean, I know you're not, but...
Oh, God. There we go. So
Channing
cool.
Tatum mode. He looks just like Channing Tatum every time he. Every
you've
time
still
I
never
him.
Had a Red Bull in your life, correct?
I haven't.
All right, let's do it.
Macbeth had a full refrigerator of them.
Yeah.
In his RV.
What's up, YouTube?
This is in the RV.
The Hall of Fame Classic, round two. I'm Paul Macbeth. This is the Sexy Beast Takeover.
I like how Nate's wording.
One and only
the words with him.
The man. That is making disc golf sexy again. Nathan Sexy Sexton.
What's up? Here we go. Is me sexy, or as my mom might call me, Nathan? We're ready to get some commentary done. I'm right here next to one and only McBeast. Turn them speakers up.
I don't know why every video doesn't start with that audio clip.
I know,
but it should.
I will never forget that. Like, I thought it was so cool that these guys wanted to take time out of their day. Like, this was in the middle of the tournament. This wasn't even final round because they were leaving town right after the third round. So I was like, well, we're only gonna be able to do this round with them. And they sat and did the commentary for us. We recorded it like in the most primitive way. Like, we didn't do commentary, so we were just trying to figure it out. It was awesome. The Hall of Fame Classic was just such a fun event. Like, they were coming up with like all these names for the players. I remember you guys were really getting on it with Dave Feldberg. You kept coming up.
Desert Dog.
Diamondback Dave Feldberg.
Like, Diamondback Dave.
Yeah, like all this stuff, and it was so funny, man. Like, and I remember like I just loved it, and I was like, we have to find a way to do more commentary because like this was so much fun. So Sexton, just I know you had done commentary before with Central Coast, I think, at this point.
Yeah.
So the guy's a natural. Like, their commentary was like not really that big a deal in post production. Like, if there was a live event like Disc Golf Planet or something, then they would of course do commentary. But the post production, like us, and of course Ian was always doing commentary. I'm like he was so good at it. He still is.
Yeah.
But like me and McFly were like the ones that were like putting out more content, but no commentary.
And was Terry doing commentary yet, or was he just filming kind of like in the same way that you and Marty were doing it?
I can't speak to that for sure.
Yeah, I don't remember commentary.
But Terry's been doing it for a long time
Terry's,
as well. It's just like
Terry's definitely an OG and all this. The guy hustles.
But it was
so
still
hard.
Like the Wild West. It was like we were just
showing up wherever,
showing
whenever
up.
You could.
Yeah.
If you showed up, you had a chance at making it in the disc golf media game.
Whenever I see that clip, and just looking back over all the years, I'm just so thankful that you guys, meeting you guys, and I felt comfortable enough, and everyone was just kind of so relaxed that I could be myself and make it kind of goofy. And looking back, I just feel like how that potentially shaped the tone of what disc golf commentary has become makes me love this job, like in a way that I don't think I would if we were like buttoned up and we're like, yeah, we do sports commentary. And it could have gone that way, right?
Absolutely.
Like it could have been that, and it could have been another thing. And I'm just so thankful that like in those moments, you know, and I'm not trying to like toot my own horn, but like just to say that it was like it was able to develop in that way, and that's obviously echoes through everything we do now with the goofiness that we bring to what we will all tell you is a very, very serious game. You know, when it's happening, when you're watching you win and when you're competing, like there are no jokes going on really. And when we're watching or when we're lucky enough to be there in the hunt, like Germ was here at the Texas States, you know, I think, but then in the post-produce, we get this incredible freedom to kind of riff and keep it light. And I think it's different than what I've seen in other sports.
I think that one of the things that allows us to do that is that because we are in it, we're competing in the event. Sometimes we're a factor in the event. We understand the ridiculousness of a scenario in a way that other people need us to shed that light. I mean, maybe they might know it, but we are living those same emotions.
Right. Sure. Yeah.
And our way of relating to it allows us to kind of point fun or make fun of the scenario because we're not making fun of them. We understand it too. We feel it, yes. You know? So it gives us some freedom to
but just think about them on their channel letting me clink the Red Bulls and do the DJ horn and do that. And
just let Germ do that last week.
yeah. But I like directed that whole thing as just like a total amateur just goof off and going, well, what if we got a bunch of Red Bulls? And what if hey, Paul, let's put on backwards hats and glasses inside at night. You know, and it's just totally stupid. They were like, okay,
not
guy.
Not one time have they ever directed us in that. No. You know, like, there's not been an ounce of feedback or constructive criticism. And then not that I wouldn't accept it. Of course we would. But it's like they've always just given us the freedom, you know, starting with that day with the Red Bulls and the backwards hats and the DJ horn. Just have fun, enjoy it, make it what you want to make it, and be yourself.
I think it's funny that people out there are just like, these goofballs, like, blah, and they don't understand, like, no, this is actually my entire life. And I know more about disc golf than you will ever know. I've seen more shots.
You forgot more about disc golf than you'll ever know.
I've seen more shots than almost anybody ever.
Yeah.
And at a high level. So my goofiness, it's poking fun, exactly what you said, because of the knowledge that I have. Mm-hmm. And I take it so serious that you have no idea that level.
If
that
I'm able, about it, we'll
yeah,
go
that
crazy.
I'm able to be sarcastic about it because I know exactly what they're going through.
Yeah.
I mean, we've been in the hunt for all of us have been on the in the hunt for world titles, like not just like been there, like we've been like been there, like I get
sure
it, you
sure.
Know? And so like the level of seriousness, I think that also gets kind of a back seat that they don't understand. Like, no, like this is my life, and I'm giving it every single ounce of my ability to give you guys the best that I can bring. And sometimes that comes out in a goofy way, but that's my way.
Yeah.
99.9% get it.
Right.
I really appreciate you guys like diving into that. We'll definitely have more opportunity in episode 2 when we move in to 2017 and on. But this one's going through 2016. So let's stay. Yeah.
Well, that's it. We've covered.
So 2015, the end of the season. Everything is going well. We've done 9 events on our own as under Jomez Productions. UC Maresma reaches out and says, hey, would you guys be interested in coming to the United States Disc Golf Championship?
Anytime UC reaches out for anything, it's important.
Yeah.
So you know, that
the
guy
man is
all the way up.
He's just a legend already.
26 hours a day. I don't know where he finds time.
Well, in Finland, they have the extra 2
because
of the extra 2.
Yeah, midnight sun.
Yeah, but you got to sleep.
No, he doesn't. Okay. Have you heard him talk? He's not human.
Hello, I'm UC Maresma, and I do not sleep.
So UC Maresma is just like, I've looked up to him ever since this type of opportunities, and we started having some sort of relationship and connection. And he said, hey, I would like to see if you guys would come film the USDGC under Spin TV. And I just was like, totally, and he actually offered to pay us and everything. Like, this was a huge opportunity. I had been watching USDGC on Disc Golf Planet and things like that since probably a couple years before that, when Will was really like hitting it hard for those years, and Nico. And so we were like, let's do it. So we hopped on a plane to Charlotte, And I remember going to Winthrop Gold and like seeing that place in person. Like out of every course we had seen at this point, that one to me was like, I can't believe I'm here right now.
Yeah.
Like, cause I had seen it on video enough and I was like, I cannot believe we have an opportunity to film this event. Like it was just like, that was the new high point of Jomez Productions at that point, was filming that event for Spin TV. And yeah, me and Mike just had such a great time. We got to hang out with UC, and Jamie Thomas was there. And yeah, so just a lot of great memories at the beginning of a relationship that, as we'll get into, has a lot more opportunities afforded us because of UC Maresma.
So and you got to film the most painful disc golf round of my career.
Yeah. Oh.
Oh boy.
Oh, so I feel so bad for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's filmed every one of mine. In a row. For 6 straight years.
And so 15 was the year that, if I'm not mistaken, was the Grand Slam year, right?
Yeah.
Beth wins.
Oh, I can tell you all about it.
He didn't win every event that year.
He wins the USCGC and completes the Grand Slam.
That USDGC, I had a 3-shot lead with 1 round to play, and I lost her by 11 shots. So, quick math. That's 14. That's 14 lost to Macbeth in 1 round.
Oh my.
It was not. I still got 4th, which is respectable, but man, that hurt. That's probably my biggest regret of my whole career, was not being able to come through with a 3-shot lead at the major. And just to fall so flat on my face in that little storm.
But at least you allowed Macbeth to get the Grand Slam. So
yeah, that was an easy way to joke about it. I kept saying...
He's driving the truck. You guys driving the truck, but he's letting you stay in the RV. You kind
of
owed him.
Yeah, I kept saying Innova called it in, and I had to roll over for the team. That's how I said, you know, it's like, yeah, it's what like, am I going to do? Bust up my own buddies? Bust
like
up
Ricky
my buddy's
and
Grand
Cal
Slam?
And
come on.
The Talladega Nights. You know, you're the shake and bake.
I definitely was a slingshot man. I was a slingshot man. Yep. That's exactly how it was. We used to do that exact joke.
If you ain't first, you're last.
That whole season, because I wasn't getting a lot of firsts traveling to every tournament. Every tournament with Macbeth, every practice round with Macbeth.
Always the prize
it,
made.
I got to see some good disc golf, let me tell you.
Okay, so we wrap up 2015. The year just went nuts. 10 events up from 2 the year before. Me and Mike are just taking every opportunity we could have possibly had, and the channel just continues to grow, and we just keep putting ourselves out there. And then, I mean, to this day, when people ask me, like, hey, I want to get into disc golf media, like, what is your, like, advice? And I just say, show up, because that's what we did. In 2015 especially, we showed up. We almost lost our jobs, both of us, because we took way too much time off of work. Like, I remember after this season wrapped up, my boss came to me and was like, hey, I think it's awesome that you're doing your thing. Like, and this hobby is, like, taking off. But he's like, you cannot take off that much time next year. Like, I had 2 weeks of vacation, and I was gone for 5 weeks that year.
Wow.
5 full weeks that I took off just for disc golf tournaments.
And Texas is selling a lot of brush guards.
Yeah.
They need as much help as they
can. I was actually a pretty good parts salesman. Like, I was the top salesman in our store. And like, I was doing good at that job.
Running. Hey man, does my camera need a brush guard?
And like, I was doing a really good job at my job, but I was like, how can I stop doing this? This is going really well. Yeah. Like, me and Mike are killing it. Like, we're giving it everything we got, and people are responding well. And as a content creator who started out in a small West Texas town doing commercials, and no one can really you don't really see people appreciating your work. It's just like, oh, get it on the air and let's go. To see people like, be able to post content to a social platform and seeing the comments come in, like, because we were just so used to MySpace and Facebook at this time. Like, if people were commenting even one time on your photo, you're like, heck yeah, dude. Right. Comment on my photos, man. Write something on my wall. Like, instant that was validation. That was our way of getting feedback from other people or even strangers. But it wasn't common for people just to be like chiming in from all over the country or the world. And so having that and having those comments come in on YouTube on the videos and just saying like, dude, this is so good. Thank you for posting this. I love watching disc golf. Like, I wouldn't be able to watch it any other way. So we go into 2016. We're like, okay, Mike, like, that was great, but I can't do that again. I'll get fired. And this isn't my job. This is just a hobby. So we scaled back down to, I want to say that's like 6 events, maybe 7.
Oh, UC, wow, really?
UC calls us up again, come to the first ever Disc Golf World Tour event in La Mirada, California.
Oh, that's right.
And we were like, yeah, let's do it. It was early in the year. We had a full team of Spin TV folks there. Like, it was a really well done event. So we did it under Spin TV, but then UC, part of the deal was that he said that we could post it under the Jomez Pro as well. Oh, cool. So this was like the first ever time we ever actually attempted to do some sort of cool graphics. Overstable Studios, yeah, Juan Luis Garcia, who now is a huge part of he's a part owner with myself. And this is when I met him. He was working for Central Coast.
Mm.
This is how I met him. These are still
was
my
working with Central Coast?
Central Coast hired him before we did. Oh, Ian hired him first. These are my crappy graphics because Juan wasn't working with us, and I just bought these off of some website. And I didn't even have my own drones, so Andres Productions, who did the flyovers with Central Coast, was doing the flyovers, and like thankfully he was cool enough to let us in. So there's UC, there's the man right there in the back clapping. So yeah, this was a really fun event. It was the first ever Disc Golf World Tour event. We didn't really know what the Disc Golf World Tour could be.
Yeah.
Like, it was all brand new. It was really exciting. I remember
three tours.
I remember it was this big reveal that he had at the 2015 USDGC like award ceremony, or the opening ceremonies, I'm saying. So this is when we're getting dumped on. And this isn't even the worst of it. This is actually when it started to die down a little bit. It was like straight up downpour. Like, there's Michael. Look, he's like hating his life. He's like, I can't believe
I'm not having a good time.
This is such a beautiful hole. Like, one of the coolest.
Look at that tree. Look at the tree. Like,
it's out of a movie. It's like,
look at Michael. He's just like, when is this time? He's not even filming right there. He's just like, I hate my life.
I think I'm just trying to keep that camera dry under that tree at this point so it doesn't break.
Look at it.
Yes.
All right, it's definitely not dying down right now. It's ripping.
Okay. Look at this. Oh, it was awful.
And
we had the most little primitive plastic bags that we could find. I had an Innova bag, like with the little Innova bags that you get in your player pack. That's what somebody gave me. And like, anyways, that was quite an experience. But it was such a cool way to start the year.
Yeah.
UC called us back to do another event, and we just basically like kept this relationship going with them to say, like, we're here for you guys for these big events. The World Tour was like a really exciting thing that was new in disc golf, and we were like, anytime he was going to call us up, we were going to do it. So we move on to 2016 Texas States, and this was the very first time that Michael and I had ever attempted to do next day coverage. I remember we were staying in like a little crappy Motel 6, and the internet's probably not great. And
you guys were at the Beast?
Yeah, 2016 mm-hmm. Texas States.
Oh, wow.
I remember watching this.
Yeah, so we had a lot of fun there. This was the last event that Michael and I ever did as a two-camera, two-man operation. Because right after this is when I told Jerry that I wanted him to come join us and be a camera guy, and I did the same thing with Jerry. But this was still our first time ever doing next day coverage. We just busted our butts and got it done.
Yeah.
And it was a lot of fun.
And these are just no commentary, just sounds of nature.
Correct, yeah. Yep. Just the good old nature sounds, and the scores don't make any sense because I put the stroke total count. And I didn't know what I was doing, guys. Like, this is my first time ever flying a drone on a course. Like, I'd never flown a drone for coverage before, and this was the first time ever. And
it kind of looks like a 15-year-old driving a car for the first time.
Yeah, well, that's exactly
like
what it was.
Backing out of a spot, just like.
Yeah, I had just gotten that drone, you know, like, and of course we're getting rained on again. Like, we just cannot escape.
Can't get a break.
Cam Todd, though, man, what a legend.
Yeah, man.
So
his win in 2015.
We move on to that. We do the next day coverage and everything. You know, we're starting to get a feel for like what that could be. Even though like it's such a grind to do next day, like we were like, I feel like the only way to move up is to get this stuff out faster. Like the next, like releasing it the next week is cool and all, but I wanted to like find a way to release these like quicker. And so me and Michael did the next day as a two camera coverage. Everything went well. We move on to Nick Hyde Memorial. So in Rockwall, Texas, Nick Hyde Memorial. This is the first time we get Jerry involved. I did the same thing. We went to a local course.
Mm-hmm.
I I think we had actually gotten some of our buddies to come play who were better than me. So we at least had some idea of teaching Jerry how to be A-cam, because I was going to move to reaction camera and slow-mo. We wanted to do more slow-mo. I still love this drone shot to this day.
That's awesome.
The lake there. That was a really great event. Everything is going well. We're still trying to figure out the three-camera model and still doing next-day coverage, of course. After Nick Hyde Memorial, we go to GBO, 2016 GBO, which is actually what you guys probably considered a warm-up for Worlds, because later that year we were going to be in Emporia again for Worlds.
How history repeats itself.
Yeah, so... Mm-hmm. So yeah, and that's what we're doing here in 2022. So we go to 2016 GBO again. Like, for some reason, I didn't even have my own flyovers. We're using like the Emporia, the ones that the Dynamic Disc provided us. I'm not really sure what the deal was with that, but this was just like this is the last event that we had as like Jomez Productions before we like turned the page and like really got to where we stepped up our game. Like, we were doing three cameras here. I think we finally got like our nice fancy jerseys. Like, everything was like, we were starting to feel like we were kind of trying to level up here. And this was like right before things just like went to where we finally wanted them to be. So 2016 GBO was great. We had a great time. I remember specifically we got to hang out with the Central Coast guys a lot. Like, Ian and I did commentary together on these rounds. I wasn't comfortable doing it at all, but Ian encouraged me to like, hey man, you really need to like do some commentary on videos. I'm glad to help. Like, Ian's always been such a cool like resource as we were coming up, and we always wanted to help each other out. And yeah, so we were doing commentary on these rounds together like at 3 a.m. And another really fun thing we did here was this in the bag we did for Paul Macbeth here in Emporia. And I remember, like, this was Juan's first involvement in something we did. We thought, like, how cool would it be to do, like, a legit in the bag? Like, we always just see the ones where it's, like, a single camera thing. So Juan just goes nuts with the graphics. Like, it's just insane. Yeah. Like, something we'd never seen before. We filmed this at that event. And, yeah, it was just, like, the graphics were just next level. Like, we started doing follow flights for all of his discs in his bag. Like, look at all this. This is just insane. Like, this was 2016.
Next level, for sure.
And
I mean, this is Paul Macbeth on a run of 4 consecutive world titles too. Like, I think people new to the game, they know he's a 5-time world champion.
Yeah, that has to have so many views.
But he did it 4 in a row. Like, this guy's just at the absolute apex.
Yeah, so, and it was awesome. So, you know, every time he would pull out a driver, it would say all the specs of it. And like, he would throw them, and the follow flight trails would come up and all that. Like, and this was when Mike was first developing the follow flight. Like, the follow flight wasn't even born until 2016.
This was a game changer for in the bag videos.
Yeah, so it was so much fun, and that's why I wanted to specifically, you know, highlight this, because of like, this was like our first attempt at like trying something like next. Like, look at this. Like, it's just like,
it's a $5,000
non-disc golf tournament.
Huh?
It's like a $5,000 disc he just pulled out.
Yeah.
By the way.
Nasty. Is that what you're saying, Jonathan? This is the first non-disc golf like tournament.
Non-tournament coverage that we wanted to attempt. Correct. And really getting Juan involved with, I knew he had the potential to like really like help us upgrade our content. And just look at, I mean, it's just like so cool, a little heads up display type thing. And then a mic bringing in his follow flights, and we had the drone, and like so many things we were trying to bring together to say like, we're really trying to like make disc golf look professional here.
Yep.
And so then we, that's whenever, right after this. So we get involved with the Macbeth in the bag with Juan. This is our first time working with him. And we're like, all right, it's time to we're going to go back to Emporia. We didn't do any events, I don't think, in between those. And we went back to Emporia for the Pro Worlds. This is the first time ever like being hired to come do Worlds, because in 2012 was the first time we did Worlds, but that was totally just like a random occurrence. Like, I just kind of showed up.
Right.
So we get hired by the PDGA to come do the Worlds. It may be DD hired us, whoever was in charge. We show up to Worlds, and like, to this day, I am still so proud of 2016 Worlds. We had Nate Sexton come back to do commentary with Steve Hill. The first time we ever paid anybody to do commentary.
Awesome, Mike.
Michael made this insane like Worlds so animation.
Cool. Man, I loved working on that. And it was so awesome.
Yes, and then Juan brought in his expertise.
I love the way the world is illustrated.
And like we, yeah, it was so much fun. We got to do so many cool things. Nate and Steve Hill just killed it. They did such a great job. I remember this was our first time like covering a full event with commentary. Like Juan brings in the whole like the. For some reason, we're still doing stroke counts. I'm not really sure why. I can't really explain that part of it, but maybe in my head I was. And then we were doing these like pre-round interviews. Like this is stuff that we had never even attempted. Like this was our chance to like really try to level up and just show people like what disc golf coverage could be.
Yeah.
Because there's people before us that did some amazing work too, but this was when we're like we were all in. We had like six people out there, which was like so rare. And of course, Nate, I remember this specifically during that interview when he says, I'm going to throw it back to Nate in the booth or something like that. Yeah. Or I'm going to throw it back to my favorite commentator right here.
Today. Thanks. All right, let me throw it back to my favorite announcer, Nate in the booth.
I'm going to throw it back to my favorite commentator.
Oh, man. And he's wow, like, oh, that actually means man, a lot to me. Thanks. So
the joke, obviously, was Nate was talking to himself, but it was really funny. Oh, my goodness.
Really funny.
This was the beginning of intentionally misidentifying trees, too.
Was it?
You and Steve Hill started that?
I think I did that here.
Wow. Oh, I thought okay. you and Jesus right. started
that. I
thought
that was an art little bit.
Ooh, I think I did it. I think I did it here, but I could be wrong.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. So, this was a whole lot of fun. We had... Worlds was just unforgettable for me. Like, I remember having you guys in there, and I was so proud of, like, the work you guys were doing. The fact that we were able to pay you guys to, like, be commentators for us. Like, so many, like... awesome memories from that time.
And it's just amazing how fast it all has changed in that, you know, for a while I was doing commentary and I never even really thought about getting paid. I don't think it was just right. like, oh, this will be fun. Sweet. This is cool. And then I remember you guys offering to pay me for this one and going like, oh my goodness. Like I already won this week.
Yeah. Right.
Like I'm good. And it's not like it was that much money. But I just remember thinking like, no way, really? Like that's where this is going. You know, and then now that seems silly. Like looking back from where I sit now, it's like it just keeps going.
Yeah. So we get through Worlds. It was so much fun. We just that was the first time that I thought like we'll never be able to go backwards from here. I can never not have Juan coming in doing graphics, Michael doing, you know, sound design. And 3D stuff, which he's already been doing, but just finally putting it all together. And like the two cameras, and then the third, like the slow-mo camera, like I had the FS7, and like Ricky, of course, coming in and tapping in his putt, and going to the slow-mo camera for something like that, that for us was just like such a big thing. We did not have anything like that before. And like even just having that element mixed with the professional commentary, the professional music and graphics, it was just like, I was just so proud of this, and I still am to this day. I can still go back and watch this and enjoy like this production because of what it meant for Joma's Pro to really be able to step that up. Like
Ricky's kind of changed his hat style, but just seeing that right there, the very next day, I remember going on Instagram and being like, hey, everybody, let's wear them high and tight for the new world champ and cinching my hat way up and putting it way up here because that's just how Ricky always did it back then.
Oh my gosh.
That was the beginning of you guys really stepping it up because I feel like one of the things that's been consistent since then is that Worlds is such a big undertaking for you guys. You bring so much staff. You guys are just, I've never seen so many people working so hard than the Jomez crew at the World Championships. And it's like at GBO, it means a lot to you guys, but Worlds also. And I think it started there in 2016 and it's just stayed consistent.
It's kind of where you want to raise the bar every time. It's like, how are we gonna do it bigger? How are we gonna do it bigger?
Yeah. So I mean, that was just like a good way to wrap up the year. We still did some other stuff in 2016. I think we went to USCGC and stuff. But I think this is like a good place to kind of like end here because of like what it meant for wrapping up that what I would call like the first phase and the first episode of Showmez, where it's like this is. From 2012 to 2016 and ending on such a high note at Worlds, like getting the crew together to where like eventually these people would have such a larger role, like Nate and Juan, and then getting into like the potential for where it was gonna go after this. It was just like, so it's just so awesome to be able to go back and live through all this again. I know you guys didn't have like as much involvement in this first episode, but I promise to everyone that gets sick of hearing me talk, the episode two coming after this is gonna, this is whenever, this was more of like Jomez Pro existing like independently of the guys as you know them now and a lot of the crew that's in here now. But this was just kind of the first step in kind of catching people up to speed on where Jomez Pro has come from.
I mean, I learned a lot today about this stuff, and I thought I knew the backstory pretty well, but those are like, I didn't know that this company could have been called Jamity instead of Jomez. Mm-hmm. You know, this could have been a James Tennedy thing if he was just filming the
Univision. I was a little confused.
Yeah, Jamity. Yeah, Jamity. James Tennedy.
Jamity Pro.
Jamity Pro, for sure. I didn't realize that...
You filmed commercials.
Yeah, the commercial thing was Jomez Pro existed 5, before.
5,000 views?
That's a lot.
Wow. Yeah, I remember following Jonathan around, like we would do like a commercial for like Grip or whatever. Just remember I had like the roaming cam, like the steady cam, but those were good old days. So sort of.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the foundational stuff is important, and I think that at a certain point, like, people are gonna look back on this and you know, years to come and think like, man, like, it's so cool how this is so such a natural route, because what you have done and what your vision was at this early time, you went from obviously the no paid commentary, just showing up and doing this thing for free, but where this channel has developed into, now the up and coming media crews have the foundation that you set as like, okay, this is the baseline. This is, I have to bring at least this stuff from the very get go. And it's like, you know, they had you to look at, and like you were using Marty's coverage and Terry's coverage. That was the base there, but it was very simple, very rudimentary, if that's the right word. But now you...
Is it?
Yeah, he nailed that.
Confirmed.
Fact checkers.
Yes, but, you know, that's it's cool to know that, like, this, you know, wasn't like you had any production, well, I guess a little bit of commercial stuff.
Yeah, but not in the sense that simple. Where we ended up finding our stride was a completely different product.
Yeah.
Like, commercials are its own thing, and... Yeah, it's been so much fun to like relive this, and I definitely want to make sure to give props to all the people that came up with us, with like Central Coast and Ian and Marty McFly and McFly So High and Spin TV, just giving those opportunities to us, and Terry Miller, just all these people, Disc Golf Planet, like just it was the landscape was so much different, even in 2016, like it was
6 years ago.
It was just crazy. And so it's so much fun to see how far disc golf has come as a sport, from the media landscape, from the players and the opportunities that you guys have and the brands that you're able to build. It's just like, I'm excited to get into 2017, because that's when really stuff started going, getting pretty crazy and started picking up. But it was cool to go through like the kind of early stages of everything.
Yeah, it's awesome to look back on kind of the early years. Was a small club, you know, they're pretty much letting anybody do commentary these days.
Hey, and if you have a dream of doing, you know, production, all you got to do is grab a camera, take a flight, and film the world championships. I'm sure they'll let you.
Yeah, there's no issue, right?
Just act like you belong, and yeah, nobody will see
anything. Oh, boy.
As we get ready to wrap up, can you reach those discs?
Yeah.
You got a wingspan?
Yeah, man.
All right, so we got some special stuff. These are actually the originals. These original discs are of the first runs of all these discs that we have, that we had up through 2016. And we're going to be re-releasing these all in a special 10-year anniversary stamp. Ooh. It'll have like a little extra little,
I want it.
You know, they won't be these exact runs, but they're going to be re-releasing the stamps for the first time. This one is the one we so affectionately called the Tron stamp. I designed this in Photoshop very poorly, and it just kind of worked out. This was back when I was in charge of designing stuff, and thank God that's not the case anymore. This is actually a DX Thunderbird. Innova was like, "Hey, we have DX Thunderbirds." And I was like, that's weird. I'll take one.
Deal.
And so we got ordered like 50 of them, and they're not good for more than about 3 throws.
Give me.
Because the DX plastic just doesn't hold up.
Feels like a good roll.
So we're going to be releasing those.
Hey.
The World stamp.
I bet you gave me this shirt at that Worlds.
We have the World. I know for a fact I gave it to you at the Worlds, because I gave you and Macbeth those, and I gave you each discs with this stamp on it, because you guys picked like rocks or something, because you're about to go to Europe. I remember, and you're like, I want to take it to Europe, and I was like, if they really take our discs and throw them in Europe, like, I might lose my mind. But you don't have to tell me if you really did.
I can't. If I remembered, I'd tell you.
Okay. But yeah, so we won't be re-releasing the shirt, unfortunately. I'm sorry, Nate has one of the last ones ever in existence. But we are re-releasing. This is our 2016 World Stamp. This was something that we I also designed. This is the last thing I may have ever designed that I am pretty proud of it, but it's not cool. Great. It's not a great design. But cool. It was Worlds, and it was like kind of the thing we went with that year. So yeah, we're going to be releasing the World Stamp. And
Macbeth am in the middle. That's cool, dude.
Oh yeah, I guess I designed the Paul Macbeth stamp in 2012, or no, this is like 2015, I think. But I was a little bit ahead of the game, I guess. So we were releasing these two stamps for this episode specifically. So we'll show you how to get those commemorative stamps. So go to JoeMezPro.com right now to get your hands on these. We have limited quantities, so if you want a specific disc, you need to get on it right now. We have both Discraft and Innova in these limited edition throwback stamps, so check out JoeMezPro.com to get yours. And if you like saving money, you can join our Patreon community to get up to 20% off of these discs plus anything else in the shop. Just go to JoeMezPro.com/Patreon and pick your tier. We've got Slow Mez Squad, Fall of Flight Fam, and Founders Club. From there, you'll get access to a discount code you can apply directly during checkout. And as a bonus exclusive for our patrons, we're releasing an extended cut of this episode of Show Mez with more fun and laughs with me and Big Sexy Barry. So visit JoeMezPro.com/Patreon to sign up. But I suggest getting right on it because we anticipate these discs selling quickly with the limited stock we have at JoeMezPro.com. I guess that's it for now. I'm just glad to have you guys all here. This has been a first... fun first episode of Show Mez. I know we changed up the format a little bit, but hopefully you all enjoyed this, and we look forward to bringing you episode 2 very shortly. Let us know what you think of the new format. Thank you to Nate, Yuli, and Jerm for joining me, and Michael and for coming in and giving us his perspective. Couldn't be here without Mike for sure. He's been my ride or die since day one, as most people know. Fall of Flight Mike is just very, very important to the success of this company.
He's the glue man. Yep. He's the glue man. Keeps this whole operation together.
Yeah, man. That's why we call him Crazy Fall of Flight Mike. Like crazy glue.
Yeah.
Crazy glue Fall of Flight Mike.
Gorilla Mike. I've always called him Gorilla Mike.
Yeah. When he's an old man, we'll call him Elmer.
Whenever we do commentary in order to do a mic check, this is what he has to hear every time.
Hey, Mikey! All right. Thank you guys for joining us. We really appreciate everyone joining us for this first episode of Show Mez. We'll see you for episode 2 very shortly for the next phase of Joe Mez Pro as we look back on our 10-year history.
It's gonna be wild.
Thank you.